Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Wow, we are past 400,000 downloads of the podcast. Wow, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I just can't believe this. I've been doing this for about almost 5 years, and so this is really a milestone. So thank you for your support. I hope you guys enjoyed the shows and learned a lot. Earlier this morning, I spoke to the Muffins, all the way from South Africa. Sifiso was one of the band members, and I had a co-host, singer Keti from South Africa on, so you want to check out that podcast. You can listen to the archive. It's great, and you can hear their music. They also have a DVD out with expanded, like, extras on there, so you want to check them out. Follow them on Twitter, @muffins_live. Also follow Keti. Her Twitter account is Nina_Keti, and you can follow her. And also, they both have Facebook pages. So I'm going to be giving away a copy of their album, Have You Heard? So follow me at Joy Keys and become a fan on Facebook. Well, today I'm hoping to talk with Professor Devin Robinson. His new book is called Power Move, How to Transition from Employee to Employer. And some of the things he talks about is the mindset, the order in which things you got to do, things you have to get rid of, things that you need to execute, being socially responsible. One of the biggest challenges I think that he talks about is the mindset. I'm going to reach out to him now to give him a call on the show here. Well, we're back now, and I believe the professor is on the line. Professor Robinson,
yes.
This is Joy Keys.
Yes.
Hi.
Oh, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for calling in today.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show.
Wow, your book, I mean, really scathing, just really hardcore, makes people take a look at themselves. And one of the things that I really love, no, seriously, you were like, look, let's be truthful with yourself. You may or may not be ready to be an entrepreneur, but if you're ready, here are the steps. I mean, you are very articulate in laying out, boom, 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 boom. This is point A, point B, point C, D. Follow that, you'll be fine. But let's talk about this idea of the consumption theory. This really, I think, is a key aspect. Talk to the audience. What is that, and what does
yes.
that mean?
Yes, the consumption theory is, you know, pretty much we are, in our society, we have much more consumers than producers. We have much more employees than employers. So we have a culture of consumerism, and our focus is the theory pretty much hits you boom in your face and forces you to really look at your consumption behavior. What happens a lot of times is people look at what they have, their resources, finances. I mean, it can be space in their homes. It can be gas in their cars. I mean, these are the things you're consuming. And
mm-hmm.
you're looking at it and you're saying, oh, man, I need more because
yeah.
I'm consuming to this limit. So when you do that, then your focus becomes on more so getting more so you can consume comfortably rather than looking at your consumption and focusing on your production instead. So
mm-hmm.
the consumption theory really says that, listen, what you actually consume, what evaporates and what is not able to be resold or reused, you know, such as I said, money or gas or whatever, it needs
mm-hmm.
to be a very small portion of your resources or a very small portion of your income. And I focus on that being 10% because that's how I live. I live to 10% of my income. So
that is amazing. I read that. I was like, what? 10%? And I'm sitting there calculating 10%. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to be living in a room like at a church shelter or something with this amount of money. I mean, what the heck? I'm like...
The thing about it is forces you now to look at, okay, if I was to live to 10% of my income, how comfortable would I live? And
yeah.
if you decide not to consume more and stay within that 10%, what it forces you to do is become more of a producer and produce more income.
Mm.
So that's really what the consumption theory does. It forces you to say, listen, I want to live to $50,000 per year, for example, but my
mm-hmm.
income is only $50,000 or $55,000. Well, if I want to live to 50,000 based on the consumption theory, that means I need to be earning 500,000.
Wow.
So now your mindset becomes different in saying, you know what, I need to be earning $500,000 because I want to live to 50,000. And you operate totally differently.
Now, let's talk about this statement you made in the book. It says, every week you can go without a paycheck equates to a month you can stay in business. You're telling people to call their HR department and say, hold my checks. Talk to me about this idea here.
Yeah, because what happens is, as an entrepreneur, okay, a certain conditioning you have to go through is pretty much a culture shock. And you have to be able to withstand cyclical income. And really learn how to manage the resources that you currently have in a way that can take you to the next harvest, if you want to say, or the next, you know, series of incomes or whatever. In order to do that, you've got to be able to sit back and say, well, how long can I go without a paycheck? How long can I go without income? So if you really look at that, at how long you can go without an income, that represents double the amount of time that you can stay in business. So it's just a practical exercise because, you know, people don't just go out of business, I don't make money today, so I'm out of business tomorrow. Well, they got to float the income that they receive from whatever period, and that got to stretch them out. And usually it's one for two is how it works. So it's just a practical exercise while you're in a safe zone, which is, you know, on a job with an employer. That you can practice this and see if you're really cut out for it. Because entrepreneur requires a very strong stomach. You're taking risks, and everything's not safe, and everything's not 100% guaranteed. So you want to, you know, these are things that I put out there in the book that you can practice to see, well, am I really, you know, entrepreneur material? And that's just one of the exercises.
Yeah. Let's talk about need, because interesting thing is that you also mentioned in the book is that people have a lot of skills and talents. Those may not be what you should go into business. You say that they should look for a need, and you talk about different types of need. One of the stories I liked was the vending machine story. Tell the audience about that, your vending machine story when you were in the services.
Oh, yeah. When I was in the military, you know, this is where you capitalize on those ideas, and it helps you transition. And I was in the military, and we came back from a very brisk run. It was long. And usually when we get back, you know, people usually go into the building and, you know, get some refreshments and get themselves together, you know, for the day. And this one particular day, the doors were locked. And we couldn't, you know, we couldn't get in. And people were just, like, pretty much, like, frantic. Like, oh, man, you know, how do I, you know, get my refreshments or whatever? And I looked at that and I said, oh, man, people need this. This is something that people would want if I make this available. So then I just went out and started getting vending machines and speaking to the different commanders of the unit and asking them if I could put vending machines in their building. And it was so easy. They had no problem because the way they saw it was I was actually filling a need. And I was actually helping them and helping their soldiers have refreshments throughout the day. And maybe at some inconvenient times when they got to work late or work through lunch, they really saw this as, man, you're actually solving a problem that we have. And that really worked out greatly for me, yeah.
That's amazing. And one of the things that you also mentioned was need out of tragedy. And it's funny that you mentioned that because I remember I was watching the show Tremé. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that on HBO. And there's a guy on there. He's a hustler, and he came from Texas, and he's hustling out of the tragedy of Katrina by cleaning up these houses. You know, he just came in there. He got some contracts. He did a little underhanded stuff. But the need out of tragedy is something that – a lot of entrepreneurs could really benefit from. Yes, definitely.
I mean, there are things that happen out here that people, you know, I think a lot of needs or solutions are born out of tragedy. And, you know, a lot of times we look at situations, tragedies as problems, but I like to look at them as opportunities. Because in the middle of the tragedy, there are things that people need at that time that would help, you know, take them to the next level. And that's where many companies come from. So, you know, that's really one of the other focuses. And you know, there are tragedies that took place in my life as well that allowed me to focus and say, you know what, this is something that people need. You know, one of them is the school that I own, my Beauty Supply Institute school. And, you know, I was, you know, as I mentioned in the book, you know, I was out browsing, shopping for my barbershop and salon, and the guy threatened me with a golf club. And, you know, it was so incidental that some people may have acted out of character or retaliated at that time, but I didn't. You know, I kind of reflected on what took place for the rest of the day. And I said, you know what, this is something that needs to be solved, because, you know, if they're treating me, a professional business owner, like this, how are they treating other people? So I went out and I started my own stores, my own chain.
Right.
And once I did that, it was just so crazy of the conversations that were coming in my doors of people that were asking how it was done. And then I just went a step further and then started creating materials and classes. And next thing you know, I had a full-fledged school training people how to be successful in that business.
It's absolutely amazing. It seems so easy. Let me just tell the audience, if you're just tuning in, you can call 646-929-0360. I saw the people in the chat room. I want to thank you for tuning in. I'm speaking with Professor Devin Robinson. He's a serial entrepreneur. He was born and raised in St. Thomas. He's also a professor. And this latest book that he has written is Power Move, How to Transition from Employee to Employer. Check out his website, devinrobinson.com. He's also on Facebook. You'll check him out there. Now, one of the other things you mentioned in the book are systems. You say if you don't own a system, you will never own your future. And also
absolutely.
You say system first, then capital. Talk to the audience about these two comments that I just made.
Yeah, you know, that is so interesting. That's a section of the book that people have really come to appreciate and ask me about the most, the systems. Yeah, having a system, you know, a business, you know, like I mentioned, that a business is not a brick and mortar, it's not inventory, it's not products, it's not anything except a system that generates profit and you solve a problem that customers get involved with. So you have many systems that you can create, and, you know, I go into a lot of details in the book about the many systems that I have that allow me to be very efficient. But you want to own something. You want to own something that is generating profit, that people come to, they see it as a solution, they put in money or they pay for those services or products or whatever, and then on the other end, it becomes a profit for you. These are just systems. You know, so it can be whether it's a website, whether it's you know, an actual physical building or business, it can be whatever. But you got to own some type of system, and in addition to step into that, as I speak about in the Power Move Laws, you got to own a price. Because owning a price allows you to stay on par with inflation. You know, inflation goes up to 8 to 12% per year, but the average income goes up maybe 2 to 5%. And for your income to go up, you're waiting 6 months. You're waiting for evaluations. You're trying to perform highly on your jobs or what have you, and you're really at the mercy of that person who pays you. You know, one of the things I say, the best way to control someone is to pay them. You know, that's one of my sayings.
Wow.
But, you know, the thing that you want to look at is you want to own a price. So that means you own a system. And within that system, you set the parameters of how much you're going to charge for certain services and ensure that you're getting paid and you're staying on par with inflation as well. So you have that system in place, and then you focus on now marketing that system, because business is just a three-step process. It's marketing, sales, and operations. That's all it is. You market, you attract people to what you have. Your sales is converting them into your product or service. And operations is, you know, how you keep your expenses down, and that is where you're attempting to generate a profit and growth in your business. It's just three main steps. So once you have the system that's there in place, now all you got to do is market that, convert the people, and manage your expenses properly. It's not as difficult as people like to make it or the colleges like to make it. You can
That's how wonderful your book is, because you just, like I said, you really made me sit there and like, okay, wow, okay, if I do this, if I do that, I could, what? Are you, like, it was like unbelievable. It was almost like I wasn't, like, I didn't want to believe it. Like, it can't be that easy. If I do this, this, and this, then I'm going to get here. But let's go back to, I want to talk about, again, the self and the psychology of an entrepreneur. One of the people in the chat room talk about being in the right place at the right time. I think that connects with intuition because opportunity is always around you. It's seeing that opportunity, and I think you speak about that in the book. But also, we have bad habits. We got to go back to the psychology. And some of the bad habits, you talk about the basics of credit and the importance of credit scores. Can you talk to the people? Because some people get deterred if they have a bad credit score, they're like, I can't be an entrepreneur. But then there are people who are entrepreneurs that have bad credit scores. So talk to us about this.
You know, this whole credit thing, and Equifax and all the major credit bureaus have done a very, very good job at holding people hostage to credit. Now, credit is important. It is important. But mm-hmm. it is not the hindrance or such as big an obstacle as we would think as being successful. I'll give you a perfect example. I had one client that she owned a business, so she still owns a business, and she had some things that needed to be fixed. And it was really hindering, you know, the core or the ambiance of her business for her customers,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And she kept begging the landlord to get it fixed, and he kept putting her off. So she asked me what to do. I said, you need to hold back that rent. I said, you need to fix what it is you got to fix with the money and, you know, take it out of the rent pretty much. And she said, no, I don't want to do that because I don't want to affect my credit. And I said, so You're being held hostage to your credit, and your business is being affected just because you're worrying about a blemish on your credit, which is, you know, like I said, it's overrated. You know, you can have bad credit scores now, and your credit score is intact in the next 3 to 6 months because you use that money to pay stuff off. And I go into an example in the book of a friend that I had that really used his credit for his businesses. Credit score dipped, but by the time his businesses generated the money, and it needed to, he was back in the 700s. So it is very good because people look at your spending habits and your it's like your trust level, your ability to pay stuff back and your willingness to pay, you know, things back. But I don't want people to really think that credit stands in the way of them and success. Because it really doesn't.
Let's talk about education. Because you have a couple of degrees, you're very well educated. I myself, you know, am very well educated. The question is, do I have to have all this education to be an entrepreneur?
You absolutely do not. Let me just kind of break this down because sometimes I say this, and you know, I offend some of my colleagues, my collegiate professors.
Well, you might offend parents who are trying to get their kids to go to school. And they'll say, well, Professor Jennifer Robinson said, I don't have to go to school. I don't need to go to school to make money, you know?
Absolutely. You know, it's so funny. But in our society, we see tons of people that are millionaires that are dropouts of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we have people that have went to college, got PhDs, and are homeless and unemployed. The thing that our education system does is it aligns you with the practical. Okay, now education is highly theoretical. You know, when I'm in the classroom, I try to bring practical into the classroom, and I think that's why, you know, my students really appreciate my teaching style because I have a lot of actual on the ground experience. So, you know, the textbook is not going to answer for you if you're short on money this month. Who do you pay? Do you pay taxes? Do you pay rent? Or do you pay your employees? Those are the questions that are being asked in college. But college is going to answer the questions as, you know, how do you balance an account statement? And that varies as well because some of the business schools, their programs are just written for people to go out and work in business and understand certain terms. You know,
you mentioned that. Let me just say real quick, you say that colleges are not necessarily for the people. They're actually, their audience is the employers.
Absolutely. I have a good friend who's a president of a college. And, you know, just engaging in a conversation with him, it was so eye-opening because he said, you know, we don't put programs together for our students. He said our students are not our customers. Our customers are the employees. I mean, the employers of the society who, you know, come out and hire their students. So if they can put programs together that would align their graduates into becoming good employees, that's the formula for that college's success. Because if they put together programs that students are not employable or they're going out there and they're failing, that school becomes a failure. So that school focuses on, okay, what does Kia Corporation need? What does Home Depot need? What do you guys need? And we're going to train them to come in and work for you. And that's what many of the business curriculums are for. So they don't court the students. They don't have events and take them on business trips and put students up in skyboxes at games, basketball games, or football games. That's not who they're doing. If you look at it, they're doing that to their employers, the ones that are hiring the students and the ones that are, you know, contributing or donating to their alumni, you know, funds and stuff.
Yeah. Well, now, one of the things that you do mention, we have a few minutes left, but education. You talk about other ways of educating yourself. You talk about reading, how reading is so important. Entrepreneur Magazine, Wall Street Journal, some of the books that you've mentioned I've already read, you know, Think and Grow Rich, The Millionaire Next Door, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, one of my favorite books. There's so many wonderful books, but they all go back to, I think it's really the psychology of it. And one of the things that you say at the end of the book, don't come as you are. Talk to the audience about this. Don't come as you are.
Yeah, well, you know, what happens is a lot of times we have our perspective and the way we think that we want success to be very comfortably. Okay, so if you're coming in the door and you're saying, I want to be successful, but I want to be successful the way I want success to be comfortable for me, you're going to constantly run into a brick wall called failure. You want to make sure that you are educating yourself. I mean, you know, it's so amazing. I attended a conference last night where I spoke as well, the Conquer Conference, and that room was filled with entrepreneurs, people that are actually out there doing it, running their businesses. It's not filled with college students. So when you look at that, you got to say, okay, how do I bring these two things together? You want to be out there reading. Reading, to me, is still the number one way of learning. You know, people always ask for audio CDs from me or audio books from me and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, I'm a little traditional in that sense because my focus is to really, really get you to learn. It's not necessarily to make a sale. You know, I'm okay in my other businesses. You know, I'm really trying to get you to learn. I'm bringing you the cure, not the medicine. And, you know, people tend to just, I guess convicted or, you know, ego overshadows common sense sometimes. And
well, you talk about pride and ignorance. Pride and ignorance, that's the key.
That's number one.
And like I said, it's crazy. When I read the book, I'm like, it can't, like, I had, like, this block. Like, I could feel the block. I could feel the resistance in my head. Like, okay, you said do this. It was like crazy. I could feel it, you know, but I'm very conscious of my thinking. I try to be aware, and I think one of the things you talk about is perspective. What is my perspective? It may not be everybody else's perspective. It also may not be reality. So being introspective before you take this step as an entrepreneur, I think, is key. Be introspective, truly scathingly raw with yourself about your habits and things, and then you can probably go down this path. I just want to say thanks to the people in the chat room. They were mentioning about who you surround yourself with. You also talk about that and how you may lose friends and family. I mean, talk to the audience a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. Depending on the culture or the heritage of your family, you're going to definitely lose some people around you. If you're the first change agent of your family going from employee to employer, because your dynamics are going to be different, your habits are going to be different, your outlooks are going to be different, you're not going to have the same spending habits. You know, people are start to ostracize you and look at you as, wait a minute, what's going on here? You're like the black sheep. But you got to have that tough stomach and resilience and that conviction to say this is much more important than having the affiliation of friends or the validation of friends. Because you got to look at your lineage, who you're creating, your offspring, your generations. Your vertical influence is much more important than your horizontal influence, which would be your cousins.
Yeah, you talk about levels and circles.
Levels and circles
you talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the two real critical things in the book, I think, just bringing it down to the basic level, are the 21 prerequisites for entrepreneurship and are the 40 power laws, the entrepreneurial takeaways. I think those are the real nuggets that really kind of get the wheels turning so that you can really understand the book much, much better.
Yeah. I think we have a caller here. Let me just get this real quick. Good morning. You're calling from 718 area code. Do you have a question? Good morning.
Good morning. This is Faith of the Book. Hi, how are you?
Thank you for listening.
I'm thoroughly enjoying your show, and I think you're bringing up some key points in taking. I have a question with regards to the fear factor of taking that first step of faith in starting your own business. I think a lot of people are or have that fear factor in moving forward.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
well, thank you so much for tuning in. Go ahead. You want to say something, Professor?
Yeah. Thanks, Carl, for your question. You know, here's the thing. You have to look at your skills and your talents, okay? You have skills and talents that you are comfortable in taking to an employer and selling to them, okay? We got to remember, as an employee, you're selling your skills and talents. You're selling services to an employer. Taking that, because the employer is just a broker, okay? They're just connecting the customer with the employee. They're using the employee skills and taking it, marking it up in price, and selling it to the customer, okay?
Right.
All you're doing is eliminating the broker. You're saying, okay, now I want to either be a broker when I get employees, but in the beginning, you're taking your skills and talents and selling it directly to the customer. If you have been comfortable in selling those talents to an employer, you shouldn't have that same level of fear selling it to a customer. It's the same skills and talents that you possess. If you know how to do it, you know what you're doing. You're selling it just to another entity. You know what I'm saying? And in regards to fear, I mean, there's so many things in our lives that we can be fearful of, but you got to build that confidence in your abilities. You know, it's like driving a car at night. You know, your headlights only shine so far, but you keep driving the car anyway because, you know, when you get to a certain point, you're going to shed light on that situation and adapt when that time comes. You would adapt to a pothole, an animal in the street. It doesn't matter. But that doesn't stop you from getting in a car and driving at night. So
that's a wonderful analogy, yeah.
You gotta really harness the whole concept of why are you even fearful? You know, your answers are not going to be 100% answered, and there is no 100% foolproof guaranteed mechanism to business, or everyone will be doing it. There will be some unknowns that your common sense is going to kick in, and you're going to be able to adapt. You're going to have to be resourceful in order to know where to get those answers. If those two things are really part of you, you got common sense and you're resourceful, you're going to be successful at business. I mean, it's not as hard as people make it.
Well, Professor Devin Robinson, thank you so much for sharing all your knowledge today. I'm going to be giving away some copies of your book, Power Move, How to Transition from Employee to Employer. Please check him out, devinrobinson.com. Check out his Facebook page. And support a brother doing great things, and also maybe help you do great things. So you want to follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and also send me an email. But follow me so that you can win a copy of the book. I'll be tweeting and Facebooking about a little contest on how you can win the book, and maybe you can become the next entrepreneur. And if you do, email Devin Robinson and tell him, hey, man, your book worked for me. Thank you so much. Again, thank you, Professor, for coming on. It was such a pleasure.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Anytime, you just ring the phone and we'll be here. Well, I'll be here.
All right. Have a wonderful Saturday.
All right, you too.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Again, past 400,000 downloads. I really appreciate your support. Again, think about the people with Sandy, and that's another opportunity for an entrepreneur. Sandy, what's going on with Sandy? What do people who are dealing with Sandy need? As Professor Robinson spoke, need is something that entrepreneurs are constantly looking for and thinking about. So thank you so much, and have a wonderful Saturday.